So our group finds ourselves on our second day of touring around the Azores. And yesterday's channel gave a startling revelation that the Lemurians did indeed come to these islands. And perhaps that isn't startling information for those who feel energy that have been to these islands before. Because those who feel energy have always felt that there was something special about this place, not just the ecological and biodiversity uniqueness of it, but the energy of it. And all of the myths and legends that surround this place have to do with esoteric information. They're not myths and legends like we have in Glastonbury of heroes during war and conquering eras. It's always myths and legends about esoteric information. So I think this is a wonderful setting to be able to share what one of those core teachings were that the Lemurians came with them to this island. In our Lemurian teaching wheel workshop, we focus on the five-spoke wheel. And one of those spokes that we teach is called child life. Now, child life, in the teaching of this subject, the children are given one version. And when they have their initiation, they're taught the adult version. So for the women, it's actually when they have menses. That is when they get initiated. And that is when they learn about the adult version of those deeper truths. So what are the children version and what are the adult version of that spoke, child life? Well, here are the three things they teach the children. The first one is that joy is sacred. Joy is sacred. Joy is absolutely sacred. And the second thing they teach is about sustaining joy. So not only is joy sacred, but the ability to sustain joy, sustaining joy. And the third thing the children are taught is laughing exercises. You can imagine how much fun doing laughing exercises would create even more joy, because laughter is contagious. You cannot sit in a room with someone laughing infectiously without giving in to your own giggles and then exploding into laughter yourself. So these were the things that the children were taught. But then as adults, this information on the child life spoke moved into other subjects. And that first subject was related to longevity. Why would having child life be related to longevity? Well, Crine has said that as soon as you start losing your inner child, you begin dying every day. That is how important it is to sustain and have joy in your life, to have that childlike innocence of joy and happiness. So here's the other thing the adults learnt about child life. It was about healing. Because indeed, if you could embrace that joy and inner child, it brings healing. And lastly, this one is probably a little difficult for most because the adults were told about passing to the other side of the veil with joy. Oh, that's a pretty tough one. How do we treat those who are in a situation where they're passing and transitioning? How is that treated in our culture? It's not always treated with joy. And yet this is what the core spiritual truth was about passing to the other side of the veil with joy. Because that is reconnecting to that oneness. And they all knew about going back to that original source. So why do I bring up this subject of joy? Because this is really the essence of the trip that we are having. And in the afternoon, we are about to embark on another excursion, this time to see whales, whale watching. And what is the best thing you can do to attract whales and dolphins? It is absolutely to have joy. The thing that dolphins will come to is children laughing hysterically on the boat. They didn't spend time meditating and getting prepared. That works, by the way. But laughter, happiness, and joy is the vibration that really gets their attention. So in that spirit of happiness and joy, let's continue by hearing another heart-filled, joyful message from Cryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Cryon of Magnetic Service. This is the second channel in that which you call the Azores. The group sits outside on the grass. The sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. It's a great day for me to give you information, some of which I've given before. Those listening to this channel now and later, I have a message for you. I don't expect that you have heard all of the information that I have given over the years, especially when it comes to certain esoteric things about the earth. But when you come to a place like this, it's time to repeat some things, or to clarify some things, or go to a place that you didn't expect to within your heart, as perhaps you start to cognize or take within certain concepts that maybe you'd never did before. Each human being in their lives has a time where they can get quiet or not and begin to ponder the things that perhaps are the most important to them, and maybe even the esoteric things, the metaphysical ones, things you cannot see or measure, like love, for instance, or compassion, for instance. Show me the love meter, or the compassion instrument. And yet these are profound consciousnesses on the planet. I told you something long ago that I'm going to repeat today and clarify. And it's very esoteric. So get ready for things you cannot see. But as we explain them, I ask you for common sense and a reality of thinking. Dear ones, when this earth was put together, and the creation of humanity's spirituality happened, your creation story, the earth also had changes, not just the humans. You have three grids that I have spoken of. There's actually more, but I have spoken of three. A physical one, which you call the magnetic grid, which does far more than you think. A second one called a Gaia grid, and another one called the crystalline grid. Now, we call these grids, but do not then linearize it and see them pasted upon the earth in some strange linear fashion. Think of them as part of the planet. Think of them as perhaps glowing in a certain way with the planet. Don't put them as a structure, or you'll lose the emphasis of this message. Now let's talk about something. We have spoken to you of the Gaia grid. Now, I want you to use not just your imagination or your esoteric mind, but your logic. If you are someone who is called a tree hugger, do you feel anything from this earth? As you walk along and look at the majesty of the mountains, or indeed hug a tree, I want to ask those sensitives, is there anything there? Or are you just enamored with a plant? Do you feel communications from the planet to you in any way? Not perhaps in words, but in emotions or consciousness or anything? And the answer is yes. Yes. There are so many who use this planet and the energy of it to help those around them. They actually know that there's energy around the planet that speaks to them in certain ways. Did you know that the Gaia grid actually interfaces with astrology? It's the only way you could have astrocartography work. There are energies you cannot feel all the time, but some sensitives are very aware of them when they want to be. That's the Gaia grid. So use your logic for a moment before we go to the next one. There is an energy transmission that happens from the earth to you. How do you explain it? The earth has sentience. It's Mother Earth. You might even say there's a form of a consciousness of this planet. Now, does that interface somehow with the magnetics of the earth? The answer is yes. Every grid works with the other one in complex ways. And now we get to the most esoteric of them all, the third one. It's called the crystalline grid. You cannot see it. Scientists will not admit it. And it's very, very metaphysical. Now we're going to describe what it does. And then I'm going to enhance that description with a couple of examples. The crystalline grid of this planet is the one that remembers. Now, you know why it's called crystalline, don't you? What is it in physics, in crystals, that you know? You know that this particular stone, if you want to call it that, among all others, is capable of storing frequency. It's even used in electronics. And so the crystalline grid is named this way, for it stores something. It stores human consciousness, and it's localized. Let me explain. Let's take a sensitive for a moment. Now, a sensitive is a human being who can sense energy around them. And let's ask that sensitive to walk into a field and tell us what has happened there. And sometimes that sensitive will say, "I don't feel anything." Or the sensitive might think and say, "Oh, there was something here, and how beautiful this was." But if you take them to a place that used to be a battlefield, even if it's unmarked, they may even fall to their knees and weep, because they are sensing the battle. Now, are they sensing fear? Are they sensing the death that happened, the despair, the sorrow? Or are they sensing the consciousness of a person who might be in battle or passing over? I'll get to that in a moment. But follow my logic. What is that the sensitive is feeling? And you might say, "Well, something happened here, and so they're feeling it." That is not a good answer. That's not a practical answer. Let's say I'm a physicist. Let's say I'm a physicist who understands that there's energy in the ground because I'm watching people weep when they walk there. The physicist will ask the question, what is the energy transmission? How is this possible that a battle from hundreds of years ago would affect a human today who is simply walking through? That, dear ones, is the crystalline grid. There is a grid that remembers human consciousness. And that human consciousness can be anything. It can be a battle, and so much more. I want to tell you about consciousness. People confuse it with emotion, and it isn't. Your world wars were dramatic, sorrowful. The horror of the planet, all wrapped up for you to look at and see. At the beginning of World War I, 1914 actually, the Pope declared a truce at Christmas. And as the stories will have it and the legends would have it, that day, on the Western Front, in many places, the battle ceased. And that the soldiers even would come out of their trenches and exchange supplies, perhaps coffee. Some say there were even gifts, although that is not exactly what happened. There have been many exaggerations, but dear ones, it did happen. And the fighting stopped. And the men indeed came out of their trenches and looked at one another. There was one instance where they sang a Christmas hymn together. Now, here's what I want to ask you. What kind of a truce was that? And the answer is this. No matter what the differences were in those soldiers, they had a commonality. And their commonality was their belief system of the sacredness of the Master of Love, the Christ. They were Christians. And so they had the same songs, believe it or not, even in different languages, German and English. They had the same ideas of the nativity, of the celebration, of the birth of the prophet that they loved. And what was it then that brought them together? And the answer is obvious. It is the consciousness of the compassion of love. It wasn't political. It wasn't a truce so that those on both sides could look at it differently. It wasn't. It was a cause to celebrate a consciousness. This is what we're talking about. This is the power of love, of consciousness, that would allow the ceasing between two enemies in battle that lasted and lasted. And then they stopped and sang songs for a little while. That's the power that we speak of. Let's go to Lemuria for a moment. The island of Hawaii. The big island of Hawaii. It's very similar to this one. There is volcanic activity today. There are places that steam just like here. Can you feel, perhaps, that there is a connection even to that place and this one as you walk? Even if you have not been to the other, perhaps you can relate. And on that island, there is a place called the City of Refuge. And at certain times of year, in the ancient times, any warrior could go there with any other warrior, even if they were at current battle stations. Indeed, there were wars in Hawaii in the latter part, not the Lemurian part. And that is what I speak of. They both could go there at certain times of year, shake hands, sing songs, have food together. Everything was forgiven at that moment. Others who were not warriors would go there, who had done bad things in their life and had low consciousness and were starting to think about what they had done. And they could go there and be safe, in complete safety of being persecuted for anything. A city of refuge, dear ones, what would this be? Why would this be? Because at some level, human beings came together and said, we need a place where we celebrate the consciousness of forgiveness, the consciousness of love and compassion, where nothing really matters but love. These are the examples I wanted to show you of what consciousness does to humanity. High consciousness of love and compassion is one of the strongest energies anywhere. It comes from the creative source, dear ones. It comes from the angels, dear ones. And why is this important? Because of what I told you about here. The crystalline grid is pure here. And what I mean by that is there have been no wars, and there have been no battles, and there have been no horror here. Whether it's the ancients or the current civilizations, this is pure. What has happened here is that the ancients carried here truth and joy and teaching and beauty. And the crystalline grid in this place radiates that. Have you felt it yet? You might say, well, which island in particular? And I'll tell you that when they were here, there were no nine islands. It was raised high enough so that it was a small landmass, much like Lemuria. And so everywhere you go, you will find places where you might feel something, and it won't be negativity. There is no dark thing here, hiding. There is only that which is the highest energy on the planet. The crystalline grid is going to radiate compassion, consciousness of love, and pure teaching. That combined with Gaia's energy, there's nothing like it. Do you feel it yet? This is going to be a very attractive place. There will be many coming here in the future, especially as humanity starts to increase and evolve in consciousness, right off of the continent of Portugal, a place where you can come, where the earth speaks to you and the crystalline grid talks to you. And you can raise your hand and say, I am home. A good place to be, even for a little while, dear ones. Let it feed your soul. And so it is.